Is it time to sell my buy-to-lets? Let's find out, shall we?
Whether you're at the beginning of your property journey, looking to enter the market, or a seasoned professional seeking new strategies and insights, this podcast is your one-stop resource for all things property investment. Welcome to the Property Investors Network podcast. Let's embark on this exciting journey together and make your property investment dreams a reality.
Hello, my name's Mark Fitzgerald. It's great to have you joining us here at the Property Investors Network podcast. So a question that I am getting asked and hearing about more and more is, are buy-to-lets dead or worth doing? Well, the answer realistically depends on the fundamentals of your core buy-to-let business, because the buy-to-let as a business model is still a sound model in the aspects and in the sense that there is massive demand still from renters. There is increasing yields and rents are keeping pace with inflation in most areas. There are long-term capital growth benefits from having buy-to-lets, and of course, rental demand will continue to increase all the more for landlords. So why are so many landlords now thinking it's the right time to sell? Well, because what they were once making over the last 10, 15 years has now been reduced with the interest rates going up the way they are. You see, the problem fundamentally with buy-to-lets is that property prices have soared, particularly over the last couple of years. As we came out of COVID, it's really been a marketplace where prices have gone up and up and up. And of course, it's very, very difficult now to get the ROI that you're expecting from a single let property. Now, it does still work in certain areas, and they're normally areas where property prices aren't as much as they are in potentially places like London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, you know, the big cities. But if you go, you know, further up north, or you go to the smaller towns, a lot of times you can still get buy-to-lets to stack up. But again, for me, you've really got to roll it back to see what is it that you're trying to achieve, or what is it that you want from your property investing? You know what I mean? Because if you're looking for high cash flowing strategies, buy-to-lets aren't the place to be. Now, HMOs, houses of moderate occupation, can give you great cash flow month on month, can help you replace your wage, get out of your job, give you more time freedom. But they are strategies that are very, very noisy. You're going to have to put some effort into there. Even if you give it to management agents, you're going to have a lot more churn. You're going to have a lot more moving parts. And of course, short-term rental serviced accommodation, again, can get you massive amounts of profit, of cash flow each and every month. Also, you've still got the capital growth on the property over time as well, as long as you don't have to sell at the wrong time. But again, it's very, very noisy. Buy-to-let, on the other hand, can be quite straightforward and quite easy. Now, I've always liked the buy-to-let model in the sense that people who tend to live in buy-to-lets have a 12-month AST contract. So they are pretty much set in there for 12 months. A lot of people who live in a buy-to-let property really do think of it as their own home. So they take, in some cases, better care of the property. They take the time to decorate the properties, to make it their own home. So in a lot of cases, it can be very, very nice for that. You know, HMOs, it's never really their home. They're sharing areas of the property, communal areas and things like that. And of course, serviced accommodation, short-term rentals, holiday lets, people are just there for a short period of time. So if you are a buy-to-let landlord at the moment, and we have to roll back the history books, because the growth of the private sector has been growing steadily ever since 1988. That is really where they started to bring in the ASTs, which then sort of made buy-to-lets the next boom. So why did buy-to-lets become so popular? Well, it wasn't until the Housing Act in 1988 deregulated the PRS that buy-to-let properties became an attractive investment opportunity. Not only did the 1988 Act abolish rent controls for tenancies created after the 15th of January 1989, but it made it easier for landlords to regain possession of their properties using Section 21. Okay, that is basically a section that you can use to terminate a tenancy if somebody's not paying, if somebody's just causing trouble at the end of the day. Also, in 1996, the buy-to-let mortgages were officially launched out there in the financial sector. So that then meant that the private rented sector started to grow massively, massively. And of course, with that, so did house prices. And of course, in the early 2000s, the base rates were cheap in comparison to a lot of the interest rates there. And there was cheap money to be had. There was also some mortgages out there where people could actually get 100% mortgages, 120% mortgages in some cases, but they could actually buy a property one day, remortgage it the next day. So the housing market boomed. And obviously house prices then absolutely went ridiculously high. So where does that leave us now as we come into 2024 and beyond? Well, one of the things that's gone wrong and why buy-to-let landlords are looking to sell up is a lot of the glory days of buy-to-lets seem to be over, at least for now. And landlords are increasingly looking at selling up, and they have been over the last few years. This has been leading people to think whether to get into buy-to-lets is still a worthwhile opportunity out there. And of course, although there's been a lot of talk in the media and increased regulations, and of course, renter reform bills are always looking to tweak and change and stuff, this also means that a lot of old school landlords now are thinking, is it worth staying in the market now? The consequences of Section 24, which was reducing mortgage interest relief over that time, has meant that a lot of old landlords who bought property in their own names are now feeling the pinch and are now looking at getting out. And of course, with the government always trying to introduce first-time buyers relief or first-time buyers offers, 100% mortgages, all of those sort of different things, it also means that if buy-to-let properties are coming onto the market, there are more and more residential people that are looking to buy. Or is there? Because I do know now that a lot of millennials aren't really that interested in buying their properties. It's become a bit of a buzz now for people to rent properties, to give them freedom in life, to not be tied down to that, to not be tied down to the property. Yes, you don't get the capital growth, but a lot of people aren't thinking that far ahead when it comes to these sorts of things. Of course, energy efficiency as well is another thing when you're looking at a rental property. If you've had that rental property for 20 years, chances are it's going to cost you quite a lot of money to make sure it stays up to the EPC ratings. So is now a good time to be getting into buy-to-let? Well, I would say if you're looking at properties potentially that you can title split, properties that you can potentially get more revenue out of than just one single tenancy, then yes, it's worth looking at. We like to look at properties, or I like to look at properties myself, that I can title split and potentially turn into 3 to 4 single dwellings, maybe studio apartments or flats and things like that. But again, more and more people now are looking at your HMO strategies, your short-term rentals, and a lot of buy-to-let landlords and property owners have changed their buy-to-lets from single vanilla buy-to-lets to short-term rentals, corporate lets, holiday lets. And of course, that has meant now that the government have seen this and are looking at changing the regulations and legislations on what you have to be compliant when it comes to serviced accommodation properties. So if you're looking at buying a single let property right here, right now, for using it as short-term rentals rather than buy to let, it is a golden time right here to be doing so before the legislations come in. But do make sure you're aware of what the legislation will be as it comes in so that you can make sure you're compliant for when it does come in. There may be new planning usages, there may be local licensing, there may be what we have as an Article 4, which is for HMOs, which is basically gives the council planning rights to stop anybody doing an HMO in an Article 4 area because there's too many in that area. That may come in for serviced accommodations. But in theory, and hopefully, you should be able to, if you're already operating as a short-term rental operator, be able to get what is called grandfather rights. As long as you're set up and compliant and you go through all the legislation and you can get the license in, you should get grandfather rights to be able to continue to operate. So is buy-to-let dead? It's difficult. It's difficult. If you are an investor who enjoys their work, has good income coming through from maybe a job that you're doing, or maybe you own businesses, and you're just looking at investing money into properties, buy-to-lets can still stack up in a lot of areas, in certain areas. And of course, it's great to just leave those to tick over and reap the rewards of capital growth over the next 10, 20 years. If you're looking for cash flow month on month, buy-to-let is, in my eyes, dead. Okay, it is a strategy that at the moment has run its course. Whilst house prices are like they are, and while rents are creeping up, and again, as I say, in some areas, rents are so high that it still works, to buy property right now and use it as a buy-to-let isn't the best use of your money. So do make sure that you always stay on top of the legislations of what is out there and what is going. And of course, do make sure that you subscribe to these episodes where we share local market updates here at the Property Investor Network, and we help you and support you on your property investing journey. Of course, if you're interested in any of our free tools and resources and further training that we can help and support you with to make sure that you are the property professional in your property business, visit pinfurtherlearning.co.uk or reach out to us at the Property Investor HQ in Birmingham. But of course, visit the pinfurtherlearning.co.uk for any free tools and resources. Do check out the PIN community on Facebook. We have a community of over 22,000 property investors there, and stay up to date with all the latest legislations. And if you have problems, maybe you've got buy-to-lets that aren't making you any money at the moment, then reach out to us and let's see if we can help point you in the right direction. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode very soon. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Property Investors Network podcast. Remember, investing in property is not just about numbers and profits, but also about building communities and creating a lasting impact. You can do this by checking out our website at pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. And of course, look to book onto your local Property Investors networking event. We are here to help and support you every step of the way, and I look forward to you joining me very soon. Bye for now.